The foundation of any news story is who, what, where, why, when, and how. My next guest, through his years of reporting, I think has added one more brick to that foundation, why you should care. He's done this for decades by digging for the truth concerning events and digging for honesty from the people of all walks of life who he has interviewed. He's now sharing some of his experiences that they just don't look at his work, but parts of your world and neighborhood as well. His book is As I Saw It, A Reporter's Intrepid Journey. He is the senior correspondent for PIX 11 in New York City. Marvin Scott, thanks for being here today, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here and to share some of these stories with you and all your listeners. It's been a labor of love for half a century.
And it's a great mix that Marvin has done, because people would think, well, who have I talked to? Let me put the A-list stars out there and just dazzle the people with star stories that they've probably heard 55 different times over the years. But you also put, as I guess we can call them, stories about the everyday human beings, too, which that's really been an important part of your work.
Yes, being out on the street every day is my area of expertise is politics, but I'm also a general assignment reporter. No 2 days are ever alike. And I deal with the people who are out there, and I have said, and I do say in the book, it's the people who make the news. Behind every story, the heart of every story is a person. And it's relating their stories, their triumphs, their tragedies, and being on the street, meeting the people and telling their stories. Everyone has a story. Some people are a little reluctant to share them, but others are. They're looking for their 15 seconds of fame. And I'm kind of the conduit. I'm the storyteller over the years. There's so many stories. I think of one of the chapters I write about the bravest person I ever met. And the bravest person, and I've met world leaders, and is a 12-year-old girl. Her name's Stephanie Collado. She needed a heart and literally touched mine. She had a heart transplant, and at the age of 12, she came out of intensive care. I was there to greet her with her family. It was her birthday, and we bonded. She had such spirit. I mean, she was hooked up to tubes after the transplant, and she looked at me, and we were doing a little interview in Wispy, saying, I thank God for my life. She was so spiritual, and she said that God, her belief in God, is what pulled her through this. And we became friends. I returned to the hospital the day she left. She said, she said to a nurse, I'm going to miss you. I'm not going to miss the building. And she got outside, and she released the balloon. She had me come to her elementary school graduation, and we stayed in touch. And I had her a number of broadcasts, and I always admired her spirit, her courage, her strength. And we stayed in touch over the years. She moved to Florida. And about 8 years later, I had received a call from a sister saying that Stephanie was ill, that the heart was rejecting. And I had arranged to go down to Tallahassee, and I was going to do another story on her. And I spoke to her, and I could hear the smile in her voice. She was in so much pain, her mother told me, but I heard the smile in her voice. It was a Friday night. And I said goodbye. Sadly, in the morning, her mother called me, and she told me she passed during the night. Mm-hmm. But she said she was so uplifted. She was selecting the dress she wanted to wear when I was coming down. And it really touched me. I delivered the eulogy. Now, how often does a reporter get so involved with a story and a person in a story? But there was one that really touched me, and I still hold Stephanie dear to me to this day. And this was another story I covered. And there have been people along the way I've met, common people, every man. The every man was in Charlie Walsh. He was a destitute man, lost his job on Wall Street, lived in New Jersey. And one day, he had $1,200 all to his name. That's all he had in the bank. And someday he opened his bank statement and found that he had $100,000 $100 in an account. He went to the bank, said, is this a mistake? Is this my balance? And they confirmed it. Yes. Yes, Mr. Walsh, it's your balance. That's it. Anyway, he gave them multiple opportunities to catch the mistake, going right to the teller. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, he started making withdrawals from his own $1,200. And then, again, he got another statement a month later, and it still showed he had the large balance. He started making larger withdrawals over a period of time, and they never caught the mistake. Every time he'd say, is this correct, my balance? Yes, it was. And after a while, he started withdrawing it all out. He said he was going for a coin collection, and I asked him later on after we withdrew all. He left $89.27 in the account. I asked him later why. He said they didn't want to close the account. He said it was like hanging a steak in front of a hungry dog. He had no family. His home was about to be seized by the city because he owed back taxes. And he had no job. So he took off. And he went on a cross-country odyssey. This man was an introvert. He discovered himself on his trip cross-country. And he became somewhat of a Robin Hood. He stopped at a diner once, and he ran into a waitress who was going to lose her apartment with her children, and he left her a $1,000 tip. He went to Las Vegas. Did you gamble, Charlie? Hell no. Seeing all that money getting shoved down that little hole? But his biggest extravagance, he retained the services of two prostitutes in Las Vegas. He felt so uncomfortable, but also he achieved that. And what a bigger achievement, he went to the nickel slots. He parlayed 5 cents into $30, and he felt a greater sense of accomplishment than he did by getting away with the bank's money. The bottom line, ultimately, he got caught. He knew it was sooner or later to catch up with him. It took them 3 or 4 months, and he returned to New Jersey, where he was hailed as a hero. And people were there when he was extradited. Charlie, we're there for you. The editorials of the paper called for the bank to drop the charges. He wasn't John Dillinger. They dropped the charges, and eventually and the bank let him keep the few things he had purchased, like an electric razor, a small television set, and then Charlie went on. He got on welfare, and he got a job, and that was the Charlie story. Remember the movie Dog Day Afternoon?
Very well.
All right, well, I got to meet the real Dog Day. Dog Day John Waterwitz. After he was released from prison, this is a funny story. One of the conditions of his release was that he get a job. So in my interview with him, he talked about the possible jobs he would like. But the job he wanted most of all was to be a security guard at a bank. I didn't understand. I said, you know, John, what are you talking about? A security guard at a bank? You held up a bank. He says, of course. He says, what better security would they have than having a person who held off the FBI and the police for 2 days?
True words were never spoken. We're talking with Marvin Stroud with his new book, As I Saw It, and Reporter's Intrepid Journey. Forward by Dan Rather. Marvin's the senior correspondent for PIX 11 in New York, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And, you know, on the flip side, as I refer to them, you have had your A-listers in your list of people to do. And, I mean, when you look at the list, like Sophia Loren, legends like Eddie Fisher, Liberace, Jerry Lewis, was there a person where, even with the experience and the years you've had as reporting, it was like, okay, I got to show up with my A-plus game for this one?
Many occasions. It was that way with Jerry Lewis. It was that way with Sophia Loren. I mean, Sophia Loren, when I looked into those hazel eyes, and she was just so magnificent, timeless elegance and beauty, but so down to earth. I had a little bit of that humana before I sat down with her because she was so gorgeous and such a acclaimed international movie star. But as we chatted for a few moments, she was just like any other person. She was easy to talk to. And one of the interesting things I found about her, she told me she wanted to shed that sex symbol image. She did not want to be remembered as a glamorous movie star. But the one thing she wanted to be remembered as was mama. Mm-hmm. Being a mother to her two sons, she said that was more than life itself, the two sons for whom she loved. So that was also, there. Let me just... Jerry Lewis was nothing like playing straight man to the king of comedy.
That's a good seat.
and I had three opportunities to do interviews with him, and one of those interviews won an Emmy Award for entertainment, a New York Emmy Award. And Jerry was just magnificent. I had met him on a number of occasions. We were both involved in the New York Friars Club. This one interview, he was very candid and a bit laid back. And I asked him at one point to what he attributed his longevity, over 60 years of entertaining. Looked at me and said, 9. I was 9 then. I was 9 when I got up this morning. And I'll always be, it's no fun being 10 or 11. I'm 9. And what he explained was, it was the child in him that propelled him with all of his humor. He says, it's the child in all of us. And he delivered a very, very poignant message. It is the child in us. You know, I know sometimes I've said to my wife, well, today I'm 5. I'm 5. I'm a kid today. If we have that mental attitude, we look at things a lot differently. And that is what has propelled Jerry Lewis all these years for a man who's now in his 90s, and he still believes that very fervently. Also, during the interview, he revealed something else, that during the Kennedy presidency, he had 19 secret visits to the White House. Why were they secret, I asked? Because President Kennedy had his critics, his detractors, and he didn't want any of those detractors to be influenced by that, by Jerry coming there and having an impact on his muscular dystrophy telethon. So that's why he quietly welcomed into the White House. And back in 1977, I don't think it's commonly known, he didn't receive it, but he was nominated for Nobel Peace Prize.
That's right.
So Jerry Lewis, an incredible, incredible human being. And he keeps bouncing back. He was in the hospital recently, but he was back out. He was attending functions in New York this past week.
And I think he's going up to Canada for a 10-day film shoot at the age of 91.
God bless him, I tell you. He's got more energy than a 20-year-old sometimes.
It's that 9-year-old, and you love what you're doing, just as Marvin does. And these are just a small sampling of the great stories of the people you know, the people that you need to know, and the people in the times that you can be reminded of and learn more again from Marvin's reporting and his stories in his book, As I Saw It, A Reporter's Intrepid Journey. He is the senior correspondent at PIX 11 New York. Marvin Scott, thank you for your duty to the truth and to the news and to the people you've spoken with and the people you inform, and thanks for being here today.
And thank you so much. Thank you.